You really want to hear about this now?
Oh, yes. I need the distraction.
Good morning.
Your Alternative Talk weekday continues with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with guests to power up your day. Mance and Mitchell, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mance and Mitchell via the phone today because the technical demons, and you who are in astrology know what I mean when I mention Mercury retrograde. The phrase Mercury retrograde is the goblin in the gears. And yet here I am on the phone, ready to start Mance and Mitchell, and we'll see about getting us back to the full Monty technical-wise. And in the meantime, delighted to have you with us for an hour of your Friday and hoping that you're planning to have a wonderful weekend. We like to kickstart that for you on this show. Now, if somebody will just give us a kickstart, we'll be in business. In the meantime, my buddy at the board doing his best to get us up and running fully is, of course, bad boy Benny Mathers at the board. Benny, is this your fault entirely, or is it really just the goblins and the gears?
I think it's the leftover sugar running around from all the kitties, and the ghosts and goblins are still out and about. I think they're just pulling an all-nighter, rolling into the wee early in the mornings, I believe. And I'm going to call out Mercury retrograde, okay? I'm going to say it.
It's a post-Halloween hangover. Let's just call it that, and we won't call it good, but we'll call it work in progress. Today we're going to have a lot of fun speaking with a lady who is one of those guests that you go for years doing radio, and you wake up one day and you go, you know, I get emails, and I hear the buzz, and I see the wonderful tweets from someone like a Dr. Susan Chomsky, and I ask myself, why haven't we had her on the show yet? I had the pleasure of making her acquaintance on the telephone, never face-to-face, at least not yet, but I did have the opportunity to work with her when I was putting together, that is to say, producing an evening show at another station in the Seattle market some years back. So I was the guy that booked her for the show. I didn't get to ask the question. So now it's my opportunity to do that. And it's been a long time coming, but we're certainly going to do our best to make it worth her while and yours. Let me go ahead and read a little bio information, and then we'll get Dr. Susan on the air with us. So many questions to ask, and in various areas, too. So this is going to be a wide-ranging interview. Dr. Susan Chomsky has dedicated her life to helping people take command of their lives in highly effective, powerful, positive ways. She is the author of 10 books, published by Simon & Schuster, Random House, and New Page. Those got mentioned, you see, because they're not podunk publishing houses. Those are big shots. A pioneer in the human potential field, she has spent more than 45 years teaching thousands of people meditation, prayer, affirmation, and intuition. Her book titles include Miracle Prayer, Divine Revelation, Exploring Meditation, Exploring Auras, Exploring Chakras, How to Hear the Voice of God, Ascension, Instant Healing, The Power of Auras, and the Power of Chakras. Talk about a high-powered person discussing the energetic field of human experience. We got one today. Dr. Chomsky is a highly respected spiritual teacher, award-winning author, and founder of Divine Revelation. That's a registered trademark, Divine Revelation, a unique field-proven technology for contacting the divine presence, hearing and testing the inner voice, and receive clear divine guidance. 52 years, her mentor was, no less a personage, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, guru of the schools and of Deepak Chopra. She served in Maharishi's personal staff for 7 years. Sought after media guest and highly acclaimed professional speaker, Dr. Chomsky has done over 600 speaking engagements. She's about to add one here in a moment. And over 600 media appearances since her first book was published, including Woman's World, GQ, Cosmopolitan, Los Angeles Times, nationally syndicated TV and radio, and, of course, our buddies at Coast to Coast with George Norrie. So this kind of caliber we've needed on the show week after week. We don't always get there, but we're getting there today as we bring on Dr. Susan Chomsky. Susan, so delighted finally to be the one to ask you the questions. How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Well, except for the technical to the bedevil us from time to time. We need divine revelation, I think, from somebody about how to get those ironed out, and we're on it, but we have you on the phone, and so it's our chance to talk with you the day after Halloween. And I guess that's fortuitous for us, Susan, because I've been wanting to ask you, and this is a great icebreaker for an interview the day after Halloween, where do you stand or how do you appreciate this All Souls Day mentality, which goes back centuries after all, and which seems to indicate, at least to its adherents, the idea that the veil thins around this time of year and our loved ones on the other side, those who have left us behind just because of the fact of physical existence, have gone over to spirit, and yet at this time of year it's easier for them to get close to us and us to them. What do you make of that idea?
I believe that it doesn't really matter what day of the year it is. We can definitely get close to our departed loved ones. They can become even guardian angels for us. And they are available to us at any time. And also, you know, this being All Saints Day, we're talking about the saints and angels and all of these divine beings that are in the spiritual world. In fact, they are always available to us as well. Not just our deceased loved ones, but also divine beings are always available to us. This is a tradition of when we celebrate and remember these beings, but in fact, they're always there. Anytime, all we need to do is call upon them, and they are there.
I love it that that's true, because as a medium who demonstrated to me on more than one occasion, once told me, really, your loved ones are only a thought away, and they are quick to remind you of it whenever they get the chance. For example, if you happen to be a sitter at a seance, or Suzanne and I belong to an independent spiritualist church that's just less than 3 miles from our home. We're very blessed to have that when we moved here to Sarasota, Florida. We broadcast from Seattle, but we live in Florida. And so we go to this church on a weekly basis where they give spirit messages. And there are times, Susan, when I'm astonished at how much detail can be brought forth, which is called the evidential in mediumship. And it astonishes me that I get information from loved ones on the other side transmitted through a human being who has no objective way of securing that knowledge. There are just things that they wouldn't know, and yet they're passing them on to me via these messages.
That's very true, yes. Mm-hmm. There are some very gifted mediums who can do that sort of thing, yes, indeed.
So when that's happening, what is happening? I mean, you're very much, I mean, you're a doctor of divinity and of metaphysics. What is the process, as near as you can describe it and as you've come to evaluate it, when you meet with a medium who really is good at what they do? They're not fishing for information. You're not, you know, serving
right.
up any data that allows them to cold read you. And we know that that happens. It's a fact of life in the psychic business. There, but
right.
in metaphysics, I have had readings with people who don't want me to say anything. They want me to sit there, and they start talking because they ask, and it's not just rhetorical. How are you going to know mm-hmm. I'm for real if you're feeding me information? I'll tell you what I am hearing, and you tell me whether or not I've got it right. Fair enough. So when that happens, and I've seen it done successfully in my own case time and again, what is the process there? How do we get to what is there on the other side when, after all, we're talking about two different dimensions?
Right. We are talking about two different dimensions. There are beings who have gone into the light after death who mediums do communicate with, and they are, in fact, those that are gifted, those that are real. They are able to tap into that spiritual world. They're able to contact and communicate directly with our departed loved ones on the other side. There are other people who call themselves mediums, but in fact they're really psychics, and that is that they are reading your mind and they're picking up information from your mind about that departed loved one. So an actual medium would be in touch with the deceased loved one directly. A psychic who may call themselves a medium, they are connecting with your thought forms, with your mind, the person that they're reading, in other words.
Okay, and so the medium, in a sense, is like the telephone. You have to have the instrument, the apparatus, in order for this communication to take place. And it's very different, I'm sure you'd be the first to say, at very different vibrational levels. We're here in this body, the denseness of the flesh, and we've got to cart this house for our soul around while we learn lessons in Earth school. That's how I've come to understand it. But on the other side, it's a very different perspective and operating at a very much higher frequency. So as mediums have told me, maybe they've said the same to you, they have to slow way down, and the medium has to speed up their energy and pick it up and make it as high and positive as possible in order for this communication to take place effectively.
That's very true. You have that nailed. Yes, that's right. You know about that because you frequent Spiritualist Church. You understand the process, yes.
Do your public presentation, Dr. Susan, do people come to you with these sorts of concerns very often, or because you're a wide-ranging teacher, you're quite versatile, this is known about you, do people come to you with those sorts of problems very often, and how comfortable are you with, in dealing with those by contrast with the many other subjects that you teach about auras and chakras and making your dreams come true, manifesting and so forth?
Which concerns? Are you speaking about demonic possession, oppression, earthbound spirits? Or what are you speaking of?
Well, including those earthbound spirits, but do people come to you a lot of times because they yearn for contact with a loved one on the other side? Maybe their mother died 6 months ago and they just can't get over it. Do you find yourself having to do a fair amount of grief counseling?
No, it's not really something that I have to deal with very often. I'm more dealing with spiritual experiences, helping people to have spiritual experiences. And then also, along with that is, of course, healing, spiritual healing. And along with spiritual healing comes healing departed ones, earthbound spirits who have not gone into the light. When you're talking about mediumship, you're talking about speaking to people who have gone into the light. When you're speaking about healing the astral world, healing beings who are stuck or stranded in the astral world, I do a lot of that.
That would be very, very important work, because my heart goes out to any soul that finds itself, that himself, herself, betwixt and between, because it doesn't seem like rather a no man's land, because they're not fully able to take advantage of the spirit guidance and the growth opportunities when we go home to the spirit world, and I've heard it referred to in just that way many a time, as opposed to being here stuck on the earth plane where they don't have a body. They may have a presence, it may be spectral, but they can't function like a normal human being because they have passed away to all physical intents and purposes. And that just seems to me like such a lonely limbo for those souls to be in. Thank God that there are people who can help them cross over.
Exactly. So I'm sure that your listeners have heard about the near-death experience, which has been reported by thousands of people who temporarily flatline, which means that they stop breathing, and their EEG, their brainwave activity, temporarily ceased. And the survivors of the near-death experience, they report that they leave their body. They often see a tunnel. They often see their loved ones in the tunnel, ushering them into a beautiful light, a light of great beauty, immeasurable glory. And then they go into that light. They often meet a divine being. They have a life review. But there are some beings who, for, and I've counted 15 different reasons why, they do not go into that divine light after death. They get stuck. They get stranded. They get lost. They get confused. Otherwise, they're just unable to go into that light. And it is not a fun experience. It's sort of a, for many people, it's a tormenting experience. And so it's really important that we learn how to help these souls to move on into the light, to help them to go into the light. Because as you say, they can't really continue their spiritual evolution when they're stuck there in limbo, when they're stuck in purgatory, whatever you want to call it. I call it the astral world. When they're stuck or stranded there, they're unable to continue their forward evolution in consciousness. And so they're just kind of in a suspended state, unable to get to higher consciousness. But they can, at any time, move into the light. But we can help them do that.
And thank goodness, because you know what it reminds me of, Susan? It's like being too shy. Go inside to a party. You're only viewing it through a window rather dimly. And you've got your nose pressed up against the window, but you don't dare go in. There's all this fun going on. You're missing out on the party, and yet where you are outside is no place where you can flourish, and yet you're still conscious of being there, desiring to move forward, not quite knowing how, maybe being afraid to take the next step. And that is a very desolate place to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So we talked about that. I think we covered that base pretty well. In the case of you, Dr. Susan, you have so much background and so much to offer. Suzanne and I are going to take turns firing questions at you because you're not on the firing line. It's an opportunity for a conversation we're talking about here. And before we're done, there, I know Suzanne has her own questions after the break, which is coming up momentarily. But eventually, I do want to get to your wonderful experience with Maharishi. I mean, for Pete's sake, there's such a history there. That's a history of metaphysics blending in, merging, if you will, with the history of pop culture and the memories of millions and millions of people around the world. I'm old enough to remember when the Beatles traveled to India, and what an adventure, and ultimately, to be honest, the misadventure they had, but it's not like they got nothing from the experience there, and other famous people joined them there. That was news the world over when that happened. And so there were the implications for them and also for the Maharishi's career there, which went on decades after his encounter with the Beatles and others of their musical generation. So we'll talk about that and many other things. I also want to kick around the idea with you, Susan, of what it is to put together a vision board. Everybody listening to this show has aspirations, has a vision, has a dream, and maybe you can help get those get redirected so that they are better facilitated in pursuit of those dreams. That is very important stuff as well. So we'll take our message three into moving the economy forward for just a couple of minutes, a brief break, and then we come back more with Dr. Susan Shumsky, author of Skin Healing. That is one of her 10 books, and now she is prolific, and we'll get into more of this metaphysical matter as soon as we come back to Mansa Mitchell. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Are you passionate about living a healthy and more balanced lifestyle? If so, Seattle Natural Awakenings magazine was created for you. Seattle Natural Awakenings is a free monthly publication full of information on fitness for the whole body, mind, and spirit. And it is your go-to magazine for local events, classes, and retreats. You can find Seattle Awakenings at health food stores, educational centers, libraries, and wherever free publications are generally seen. Or get the latest issue online at seattleawakenings.com. If you are the owner of a green, healthy, and socially responsible business, we invite you to promote your natural holistic product or services with Seattle Natural Awakenings. We reach over 40,000 readers interested in healthy living in the greater Seattle area. Call 425-350-5448 for more information.
November is packed with great events and opportunities to save at East West Bookshop Seattle. November 8th, 9th, hosts two world-renowned psychics, Dougal Frazier and Daniel McKinnon, who will share two unique approaches to intuitive insight. November 15th, medical intuitive Eva Hare and quantum reality shifter Cynthia Sue Larson will present on consciousness in the age of the heart. After Thanksgiving begins Gratitude Weekend, November 29th to December 1st. Which will include raffle prizes, free events, a gratitude celebration, psychic fair, and more. Visit eastwestbookshop.com and be sure to like them on Facebook. That's eastwestbookshop.com.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Sign up for early notice about future shows on a spam-free listserv. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/Mance and Mitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell.
Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is ManceandMitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Even doctors in the most sophisticated tests can't always find the source of a health issue. But there's one authority that always knows, your own body. Hi, this is Maureen Manucherry, the host of Where Energy and Medicine Meet.
At a brand new time slot, Thursdays at 9 a.m. You don't want to miss her exciting guests along with her wonderful insight.
Check the events page on my website to find out where I'm doing book signings in your area. And don't forget to tune in on Thursdays for the Maureen Manucherry Show.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell, and thank you, George Harrison, for What Is Life? And it was just the exact right bumper. This is Suzanne Mitchell. I wanted to take a crack at talking with Susan Shumsky today, author of 10 books, many of which are so fascinating. And Susan, before I get to my question, I want to ask you, because you have more than one website, where is a good website for people to find out about you and about your books and video and all the stuff that you have available?
The website would be drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. And I have another website, divinetravels.com. That's divinetravels.com.
I was on your website this morning, and it really is packed with a lot of good information. And one of the things that Gary and I were interested in when we wanted to interview you today was your work with the Maharishi Yogi, because as Gary said right before the break, it was something that the Beatles had pursued. And so I wanted to find out a little bit about what your experience was, because from what I read on your website, you have spent a great deal of time invested in your spiritual well-being by looking at various ways to expand your experience of life. So tell me a little bit about the Maharishi and your what happened with them.
Okay, well, I first learned Transcendental Meditation, which is Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was the founder of Transcendental Meditation. I first learned that in 1967, and it was not too long after that that I found myself in India on the banks of the Ganges River in Rishikesh, India, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas, and I was studying to be a meditation teacher with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and then I spent several months with him and only five other people, where we were very intimately connected to him. In other words, there was only a handful of people there left in the ashram, and I was with him for several months. And then I continued to go to his courses and so on, and then I joined his personal staff, and I was on his personal staff for 7 years. And I lived in his various ashrams all over the world. Ashram is a place where you go to study from a spiritual master from India. And I was in his ashrams. I lived in his ashrams on a residential basis for 22 years. This was quite young. I was quite young at the time. And then after I left the ashram, I spent another 25 years continuing to study with other spiritual teachers and so on, and wrote 10 books. So that's basically my life in a nutshell.
You know, Susan, when you're saying that was your life in a nutshell, but I would have to think that people would look at you and what you've done, and first of all, they would wonder how you could possibly do that, because you're living a dream that many people have, and that is
right.
That if they didn't have their, you know, car payment and their mortgage and their kids and their, you know, their elderly parents or whatever it is that's going on in their lives, they would love to do what you did. And that
right.
is to take themselves and go to where the Maharishi is and spend that time with him. And so the first question that comes to mind to me is, how did you manage that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was quite young at the time when I first learned meditation. And I became very devoted to it right away. And I started to volunteer in the organization. And then, of course, I wanted to become a teacher. I applied to become a teacher several times, but they said I was too young. I also applied to the course that the Beatles ended up going on, which was in 1968. But at that time, they said I was too young. But then eventually they opened it up to younger people. So then in 1970, I went over there to India and then began to teach meditation and so on and was involved with the organization, really. And then when I joined the international staff, I was living in various, it was mostly in hotels where we were holding courses, and that was in Europe. And so I was in Spain and Italy and Austria and various places in Europe, and I was not even in the United States for 7 years, and Mallorca, Spain also, and just different places in Europe, and then ended up in the United States in his various ashrams. He had a place in Washington, D.C., and then I was in Fairfield, Iowa, where he still has a place there, and so I was really in his institutions, so to speak, in his ashrams.
You know, having taken the road less traveled, the courage to leave a more, you know, prosaic lifestyle where, you know, your choice was to leave the country, to pursue a spiritual life like that, as you're describing it, it sounds like it could be a job here where you have to travel a lot, because obviously you were working. You know, when you were on staff, you had a job, you had to be at different places, you had to travel, you had to make arrangements. And in all of that, were you still able to take time to do your spiritual work? Was there enough time set aside every day to meditate while you were having to handle the business of working with the Maharishi?
Mm-hmm. Right. So that was it was an ashram lifestyle, which means there was a lot of meditation involved with that. In fact, I meditated anywhere from 5 to 20 hours a day when I was involved with the Transcendental Meditation Organization. So I was meditating tremendous long hours all the time, and it was just part of the program.
And I don't mean this as I have a question, and it's a real question, and it is, what did you get out of that? What happened to you meditating all those hours? What was your
right.
takeaway from that experience?
Right. So the thing is that back then, we were the spiritual pioneers. It was like breaking through a jungle. Frankly, the world was in such a state at that time, and we were breaking through consciousness barriers at that time. That's how I would describe it. It's like taking a scythe and going through a forest, a dense forest, and cutting roadways through that forest. And because of that, it was necessary for people to meditate long hours and also to meditate in big groups and so on to really change the consciousness of the world. So I was involved with that. Now, at this time, it's a different world. Because of all the spiritual work that the pioneers, those of us in the human potential movement, did starting in the 1960s, because of that, now there's a lot lighter vibration to the entire planet. There's no longer as dense of an astral cloud covering the earth as was there back then. So people don't need to meditate these long hours anymore. At this time, people can just meditate for a few minutes and get amazing spiritual experiences. But yes, I had amazing spiritual experiences when I was in the ashram and when I was meditating. And I even have more amazing experiences now. And it only takes, you know, a couple minutes to, well, it takes a few seconds to get into those amazing experiences at this time, because the world is in a lighter space. The world is in a place of higher vibrational consciousness.
You know, you articulated that very, very well, and I am reminded that we have heard something similar, not said exactly the way you said it, but we have heard something similar from other people, astrologers that we have on, and other psychic mediums, where they talk about the thinning of the veil. They talk about the change in consciousness. And it is interesting that now you are also saying that, and that the fact that it isn't a different world, and in some ways, you know, you can look at the glass as half empty or half full. But I like your take on it, that we are becoming more, our spirituality is much more accessible, faster, at our fingertips, and maybe not so hard to do anymore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I find, because I teach people meditation, because I teach people how to listen to the divine voice, how to connect with spirit, how to have conversations with God, and so on. And that's the kind of thing that I'm helping people to do. It used to be, you know, decades ago, that it was very difficult for people to have this experience, and it took a long time. And now people have the experience within a few minutes. It's really not that difficult. So it's just a matter of the atmospheric vibration. It's a matter of how spiritually charged the atmosphere of the planet is now compared to what it used to be 50, 60 years ago. Very different.
Well, that sounds very positive, and I really like hearing you say that. You've written on a number of topics. One of your books is called Instant Healing. That's a book that we have here. And you've written about ascension. You've written about chakras and auras. These are all different facets and different aspects of living a human life as a spiritual being. Are there any one of those that really intrigued you more than the others?
Well, of course, the main thing that I teach is divine revelation. So I have a book called Divine Revelation, and I have another book called How to Hear the Voice of God. And those are the main textbooks that I've written to help people to connect with the divine presence, to help them to realize God. And that's my main interest, of course. But I also teach people how to heal their energy fields, how to keep themselves clear, how to manifest their dreams and goals, how to change conditions in their lives. And so all of these books that I've written help people to do these things. And then, of course, I wrote Ascension, which is just kind of a fun book about divine beings and ascended masters, immortal beings is what it is. It's just stories of all these amazing beings throughout the world who have attained physical immortality.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that that Gary might have been thinking about in the first segment as you are talking about spirits and about mediumship and things like that, is one of the things that we discuss regularly is the eternality of the soul. There is still this idea that, you know, somehow when we leave the physical body, that that's kind of the end of the story. And yet now for years and years, Gary and I have talked to people who have said that is not the end of the story. That's the end of that chapter. But the story is actually eternal. The soul is eternal. We hear this repeatedly, and I think that a lot of what you're talking about when you're talking about the healings, when you're talking about the auras, is the fact that, you know, when you do this, you are moving your soul and your consciousness in a direction of growth, and that it isn't really about, you know, your life being over in any way.
Well, at death, nothing happens, basically, except for that your body is gone. You're the same person. You still are conscious. You're still able to see, hear, taste, smell, feel. You are still able to have thoughts and emotions and habits and conditions and addictions and, in fact, talents, all the skills you've learned. And you take all that with you. Everything goes with you after death.
I like that. I like that. We need to go ahead and take our second break of this hour. Let's go ahead and do that now. I'm sure that Gary or I or both will have more questions on the other side of this break. Let's go ahead and do that. And please stay tuned, even through our technical difficulties, to Manson Mitchell and our special guest today, Susan Chomsky. You're listening to Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
We live in a world that's become predictable. Our realities are filled with distractions, hopelessness, and confusion. We've begun to lose touch of what we're truly capable of. It's time for us to regain our true potential. Join psychic medium and crystal child Lindsay Paul as she connects to the other side and brings back messages from beyond, along with her psychic and skeptic Abraham DeWeese and indigo child Sarah Ellis. They'll help you soar to new heights by answering your questions. Don't miss Wisdom Within Radio, Thursdays at 1 p.m.
Hi, this is Terry Loving of LovingVisions.com. You've heard that the current social media tools available like Facebook and Twitter can be hugely effective at increasing the number of visitors to your site and drive success to your business. They are just the tip of the iceberg. Contact me and we can create an internet marketing plan step by step to make your website your best, most effective employee 24 hours a day. Call 206-200-0914. Or visit LovingVisions.com.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World. This week, November 3rd, we'll entertain the human animal as we celebrate Mike's second anniversary with the show. Earlier this year, Mike said he'd like to have a conversation with one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. Our in-studio guest, Greg Baroni, will grant Mike that request. As a channel for Ben, Greg says Ben is as witty and energetic as he was in the 1700s, and he loves to talk with 21st century Americans. Better join us for this one, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
I want to take a moment to tell you about my friend, the psychic medium and author, Jeffrey Marks. He was just on the show with us, remember? Jeffrey is quickly building a reputation as one of the Pacific Northwest's most respected mediums. We've had him on Manson Mitchell a few times, and his metaphysical knowledge and ability to connect with the spirit world is deeply impressive. Jeffrey Marks is the author of The Afterlife Interviews, a wonderful book that pulls back the veil of mystery and confusion that obscures our vision of what life is really like on the other side. Who and what await us when we cross over? We will all get there someday. The spirits have spoken. Jeffrey Marks listened. Find out what he learned in The Afterlife Interviews, Volume 1, available now on Amazon.com or anywhere fine books are sold.
Dina Marie, an annual Taste of Health and Inspiration, Saturday, November 23rd, from 1 to 8 p.m. at the Seattle Creative Arts Center in Ballard. This free inspirational event will feature local vendors of sustainable, natural, and locally made holiday gifts, inspiring speakers, informative demonstrations all day, wine tasting, and light appetizers, along with live music from 5 to 8 p.m. This year, simplify your holidays, stay out of the malls, and slow down with the change of this season. For more information, go to DinaMarie.com or give her a call at 425-350-5448. Let me give that to you again. DinaMarie.com is DinaMarie.com or give her a call at 425-350-5448.
I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We bring a unique talk radio blend your way every Friday and Saturday on 1150 KKNW.
From pop culture to the paranormal, you get variety in a conversational style.
Whether it's UFOs or ESP, angels or the afterlife, Bigfoot or your big dreams, everything is fair game on our show.
Join the A-Team of Alternative Talk Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on the station that leads the pack without following the herd. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice.
George Michael. I don't care. My guilty pleasure is listening to the occasional Wham song, and I don't care who knows it. Willing to say it on air. I used to get a kick out of those guys. It was fun to watch the videos. Remember that era, the great era of the music video? Oh, my God. Well, we're talking to Dr. Susan Shumsky. She's seen her share of people in meditation, working, doing deep spiritual work. The Maharishi himself, Mahesh Yogi, over in India, 22 years, and a lot of that very intensive work. Dr. Susan, you've written 10 books. You have a wonderful website. You do a lot of media work, and you're getting the word out there. I follow you on Twitter, so I get my daily dose of inspiration because you keep it coming like a stream of wisdom, very helpful stuff, very encouraging as well. At this point in the interview, typically what we do is give our guests a full opportunity to tell people where they can connect with you, not only online, but also via various of your books, so they can learn more about you and your work. Where can people meet Susan Shumsky?
Right. So I have a website, drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. On that website, you can read the first chapter of every one of my books. You can listen to free teleseminars. You can hear interviews. You can learn a lot of stuff. It's an amazing website, very big website. And then, of course, I have another website called divinetravels.com. That's DiVineTravels.com. I happen to be a producer of various tours, overseas tours, retreats, cruise ship seminars, conferences, and so on. And upcoming, we have a cruise in April of 2014, going from Fort Lauderdale to the Western Caribbean. I've got a tour coming up to Peru in June of 2014. And these are some of the things that are on that website, divinetravels.com.
Well said. Thank you. We just wanted to give you that opportunity.
Thank you.
Great job, Suzanne, with the questions and going over to India in our minds there and having Susan Shumsky tell us what that was like and the consequence of all that accumulated, concentrated energy through meditation and various spiritual practices. But I have a question for you in regard, Susan, when we look at North America today. you know, raising the vibration, and it's something we do at our church every Sunday night when we attend services, it's really an integral part of what we try to accomplish over there. Raising the vibration, seeking to make this a lighter world and a world full of light, seems to be the kind of phenomenon where I have to say, much to my disgust at times, that certain hate groups and political groups with heavy agendas, narrow agendas, like the Tea Party, for example, if the world's a lighter place and there's all these possible positive possibilities, I should say, the Tea Partiers didn't seem to get the memo. And there are other groups that divide us along ethnic lines, and there's still a great deal of racism in our society, lots and lots of problems. With all the work that you've done, how do you avoid, and others like you, how do you avoid a sense of discouragement or waiting for Godot, to borrow from an old French play, when we look for this brighter day for all humanity?
The thing is that the lighter day has already come and continues to come. It's been coming for the last 50, 60 years. I remember way back in when I was a child, what did you do? You went to the grocery store and you found meat and potatoes and tomatoes and a few apples and oranges and some iceberg lettuce. Okay, now what do you find when you go to the grocery store? A plethora of incredibly healthy foods, including organic foods and all kinds of vegetables. Way back when I was a child, what did you find? There were two esoteric bookstores in the entire nation. What do you find today? Well, the esoteric bookstores, many of them have already gone out of business because they've been absorbed by mainstream bookstores that are filled with esoteric books and spiritual books and metaphysical books. Way back when I was a child, you didn't find yoga, you didn't find martial arts, you didn't find anything remotely similar or anything that had anything to do with spiritual teachings or spiritual trainings. Now you find it everywhere, not only on every street corner, but also on the internet, everywhere. So what we have in it is an explosion of consciousness. We have an explosion of wisdom and inspiration and information out there that people can tap into, and more people are fascinated by this work and learning, studying, taking various telesummits and so on online. And people are really so keen and so hungry for spiritual awakening and spiritual information. So I'm tremendously encouraged and greatly optimistic about the future because of the fact that, and I will quote my guru on this, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He used to always say that for the forest to be green, the trees must be green. So what we're doing right now is we are the individuals, the trees in this forest, the individual people are raising their consciousness, and because of that, the entire planet is raising its consciousness. You cannot work on the level of legislation, on the level of making treaties, on the level of that. That doesn't work. It just does not work. What works is changing the consciousness of individuals. And, you know, John Lennon wrote a song about that called Revolution, which, in fact, the message of that song was that you have to change your mind instead. And, of course, he got that information from Maharishi because he studied with him. So that was right. The point.
That's right, and also in that song Revolution, there's the idea, so you want to change the world, we'd all love to see the plan. People many times do a great deal of heated, even overheated complaining, but there are no practical alternatives offered, and that's what makes it difficult. I think it also makes it, Susan, I think it makes it rather difficult to pursue the spiritual life while you're still in this body. Maybe that's the challenge we come down here to tackle. And realize that there are practical consequences as well as spiritual to about anything you can do. Any day you spend on this earth is going to have moments that have karmic potential as well as moments that are relatively indifferent to the fate of the universe. So you have to live intentionally. And in one of the things that you taught, and I saw this on YouTube, which is a great way for anybody who wants to know more know more about Dr. Susan Shumsky, I highly recommend just checking out Susan Shumsky, S-H-U-M-S-K-Y, on YouTube, because there are a lot of brief film clips there where you can learn a great deal in a short time. One of them was a presentation that you did about vision boards. Now, this is great because it seems like an updated version of what we used to call treasure mapping. You teach people about vision boards. Well, this is all about the meta, not only living spiritually, but in a material world, living prosperously. I thought you did a great job there in explaining that in a very few minutes.
Right. So vision boards are a way for us to manifest our dreams and desires. And you can either use a board, like a big piece of cardboard, or you can put it in a scrapbook, or there are many different ways to make vision boards. And what you're doing is you're just cutting out things from magazines that remind you of what it is that you want to accomplish, what it is that you want to achieve. And then by hanging that up somewhere that where you see it, often subconsciously kind of seeing it, maybe out of the corner of your eye, maybe not really looking at it, but it's there. What that does is it imprints that into your subconscious mind, and then you start to manifest those things. Like maybe you do a vision board, for example, if you want a new house. So you cut out a picture of from a magazine of the ideal home that you can imagine, and then you can write words on the vision board, or you cut out words from the magazines and so on. And it's very effective. I mean, it really works.
Suzanne, I definitely need to bring you into this conversation at this point, because you do what, and I've never done this, at least, well, I've just basically never done it, but Suzanne Mitchell is really good at going into what she calls her workshop, a workshop of the mind, and it sounds a lot like this vision board concept, Suzanne.
I'll go into a workshop that I have developed in my imagination that has the things that has a desk and a telephone and pads to write on and computer and television and other things in it, where I can go and work on something and leave it to my subconscious mind to be working on, but I consciously go into the workshop in a meditation where I will enter the door and go in, and I have a safe room there for myself, and I will be exploring different things that I may want to work on, like a vision board, and I'll be planning in my mind, and then I'll leave the workshop. I will leave my subconscious mind to be working out a lot of the details about how to get something done as I leave the project there. And it's something that has worked for me for a while. And just an interesting idea about a place to go in your own mind where you can explore different things. Does that sound like something you would do in a meditation, Susan?
I think it's a great process. It sounds like a wonderful process. I love that idea.
Good.
What I'm reminded of is the fact that whether it's good or bad, or even indifferent, you know, even if it doesn't matter much one way or the other, what I have gotten in my own study of metaphysics, Susan, over the past, well, close to 20 years now, is that we're always creating something. The God that made us all, that expressed us out of its divine essence, is by nature creative. This is all innate. So when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, your mind doesn't sleep. Your mind's quite busy. Look at your dream life. You're always creating something. And how much better life is when you are at choice about the positive decisions you can make that lead to the right kind of creativity, because the other kind of creativity isn't so much fun to experience.
Exactly. The Lord Buddha said in the very first verse of the first chapter of the Dhammapada, he said that all that we are is the result of what we have thought. He said, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. And then he goes on to say that if a person speaks or acts with a pure thought, then happiness follows him or her. If a person speaks or acts with an impure thought, then unhappiness follows him or her. So what the Lord Buddha has told us in that verse is that we are creating our own destiny moment by moment by every thought, every word, and every deed.
And with that, we will end our show, and thank you for having been with us today, Susan.
My pleasure and joy.
All right.
Have a Friday, everybody, and a great weekend ahead.